Hello and welcome to the Fun Times Gamecast, episode 4, 1 month edition. That's right, it's been 1 month since we started these podcasts. Great achievement, guys. Thanks for sticking around with my insanity. It is. It is Monday, August 5th, 2013. And today with me I have Borador the Boastful.
Slash hail, everybody.
And Narmacil the Narcissist.
Goddamn right.
And I am Random Jack the Random. Yes, anyways. We have a lot to go over this episode. Quite a bit. And we'll start off as normal with what have we been playing and what will we be playing. So we'll start off with Borador, who has been absent for a week, so you can fill in on anything you have been playing for the past 2 weeks.
All right, I'll be back in an hour when he finishes.
Well, you guys will be happy to know I'm on step 5 of the 10-step Skooma addiction program. Where step 5 involves killing lots of Draugr.
Unfortunately, this 10-step program is the getting addicted to Skooma 10-step program.
Yes, it's the getting addicted to Skooma. Now, I've been playing lots of enough of Skyrim. Tried out War Thunder. It's very interesting, free to play, team combat aviation thing. Interesting, intricately detailed, and very nicely done cockpits and realism for a sim. I also played quite a lot of matches in World of Warplanes, and honestly, that's about it. I've been busy at work the last week.
I heard a lot about World of Warplanes. Tell me more about it.
Okay, it takes place during the golden era of aviation. The planes are roughly from 1930 to like 1955-ish, with the introduction of jet airplanes. Uh-huh. It is 15-on-15 aerial combat, third-person view. There's different classes of planes. There's fighters, there's heavy fighters, there's bombers, carrier-based fighters, and I think there was another class. There is four factions: United States, Russia. Wait a minute. United States, Russia, Germany, and Japan. You don't have to all be like the same, alliance to all fight together. I've been playing as the United States, and I've been fighting against a lot of playing with a lot of members of the different nations and everything. There's an upgrading system for your planes. You can upgrade like the engine and the airframe, the weapons, maybe equip them with bombs. It's really good if you want to get in a little quick, some quick action. Matches are, 15 minutes. I haven't waited more than like a minute and change to get into a match, and matches generally last a few minutes. Matches go on either air superiority, which is destroy enough control points and gain air supremacy over the map, or shoot down every enemy aircraft, because you get one life. After that, you get to watch or go back to your hangar and launch another mission while that one finishes up.
Sounds pretty awesome.
I dig it, but War Thunder is a lot more simulator-like. War Thunder has a realism difficulty where you're locked in your cockpit view. You can't change the view. You have to take off, land. You have limited fuel, limited ammo. That one sits a little bit better with me. I'm still trying to figure it out, though. A lot more difficult, too.
So, in other words, you're gonna die a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, what will you be playing the next week?
Skyrim. And don't really know what else might crop up on us.
He will be digging himself deeper into a skooma hole.
Yeah.
All right, so, Narm, what about you?
Currently playing Skyrim.
Streaming?
Currently streaming Skyrim. Will be playing Skyrim.
What have you been playing?
Skyrim.
Okay, that was easy.
Short, sweet, and to the point. Skyrim's slowly ruining my life.
Okay.
You're welcome!
Yeah. Yes, with tons and tons of mods, and you know, the one thing I love about mods is it always breathes new life in the games, and anything made by Bethesda is totally mod heavy.
Yep. Alright, so I guess we'll just hop on over to me. I am actually streaming at the moment Poker Night 2. I needed something a little bit easier to play while streaming because Skyrim was taking way too much attention, and every time I had to talk, it was in the middle of being attacked. So I do apologize about that in the last episode if it sounds a little bit wonky. And right now, actually, Claptrap is taunting me. It's kind of funny. Anyways, what I have been playing was Skyrim, a little bit of Civ 5. I think I tried Saints Row 2 for like 5 minutes and Sacred 2 for like 5 minutes, and I was just like, meh. Besides that, what I will be playing is probably some more Poker Night to try it out and stuff. I actually just picked it up for the stream. And Skyrim and Civ 5 at the moment. Oh, I got into the beta for Ridge Racer Driftopia, so I might be tossing that one around a bit too.
You need my steering wheel?
Nah, I got a controller. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I guess with that, we'll jump right into the news for today. Or the past week. As far as the news goes, this week, I don't know if it's over yet or if it's still going on, I think it just ended, is QuakeCon. So we have a lot of news this week. Starting out, of course, always with the PC. We're going to start out with a new sci-fi real-time strategy. It's called Meridian New World. This game was made by one man named by Edie Tarsoli. I'm probably pronouncing his name really badly. He actually has his own company called Elder Games. It's going to feature traditional RTS gameplay with a focus on strategy. Each choice you make has an impact on the world around you. You can equip your units with up to 15 different weapons. You gain XP and upgrades upgrade your commander profile with special abilities. You can talk to your crew and influence their behaviors. You can also there's also going to be a full level editor and scripting tools. Basically the same ones that were used to make the campaign maps. On top of all,
nice when they include something like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. And on top of all of this, there's going to be in-game custom map downloader and official levels that will be released frequently after the actual release. This game is slated to come out sometime in quarter 2014, which is the spring summertime.
Are those maps, those official levels, going to be free, or are you going to have to buy them?
They have not announced it.
Hmm.
I'm going to guess you're going to have to pay for them. That's my guess. I'm not saying anything officially, but that is my prediction.
It's probably going to be a mix.
It's going to end up being like Train Simulator with so much DLC you'll end up spending like thousands of dollars on the games.
Which you'll see later, we're actually going to go into that. But that's for later. So our second bit of news is Man of War Assault Squad 2 was announced. That is coming out sometime later this year. And of course, it always promises more war, men, squads, and assaults. Obviously, because it's number two. I believe, I want to say that this is one of the ones that were on the Humble Bundle recently. The first one, the Men at War. So if you're looking for it, see if that's still there or not. This next one is MMO related. It does have a big impact. I was actually looking at screenshots for this one, and it's crazy. But the largest battle in EVE Online's history happened last weekend.
Now, I was there for that one.
Right?
It was crazy. And I was just looking at screenshots. There were thousands of players that took place in this massive battle. Basically, what had happened is one person made a mistake. They went somewhere they weren't supposed to go. They called for backup. The backup called for backup. And yeah, it just escalated into one giant war.
I love how EVE Online is always teetering on the brink of complete and total war.
Yep, yep. There's apparently a massive, like, factional war thing going on, but that's something else. But as far as this war was, there were over 4,000 players that came to the area to cause this major PvP event. The EVE Online servers, they slowed down to about 10% of real time in order to combat the lag. I'm guessing EVE Online is they're real time based.
That's a built-in thing. That's something they put into their servers to stop that from happening, to stop massive lag.
Well, I'm saying it is real time.
No, I could have sworn EVE Online has like a time dilation feature or some shit. I think. It's been a long time since I've played EVE.
Ah, okay. Oh, well.
I know there was an article somewhere on PC Gamer about that, their features.
Well, yeah, so it reduced the time feature down, so it reduced the lag. And when everything was said and done, out of the 4,000 players, there was over 3,000 ships blown to itty-bitty space dust. Itty-bitty space dust. Yep, so I feel bad for all those little virtual people who died.
Oh, I kind of do feel bad for some of those players, because it wouldn't surprise me if some of them had some really, really good, expensive and hard-to-get ships that were destroyed.
Okay, so for our next one, the DLC for BioShock Infinite was announced. There will be three DLC. There will be three.
Someone's upset.
Yeah, very upset.
I'll tell you why when we're done.
So there will be three DLCs that will be released by the end of the year. The first one is called Clash in the Clouds, and it is available now, for $5 on Steam.
Woot.
And that also is a hit on everybody that's got a season pass.
Why is it a hit on everybody that has a season pass?
Because that's considered one of the DLCs for the hit, for the season pass.
Okay, is that a problem, though?
Well, I've seen a lot of mixed reactions to this, because it's a map pack. Whoop-dee. A lot of the people that I've seen that have the season pass, we're hoping for more story. Now, I know that DLC 2 and DLC 3 is going to be all story-based. It's going to be a two-part DLC thing. I forget the name of it. But it's just, they put in, you know, a few more maps for the game's shitty multiplayer. Whoop-de-doo.
Hmm.
More people were just hoping for more story DLC, and they've been waiting so long, and they've been getting antsy, you know, saying, when are you going to put something out? When are you going to give us some information? This and that, and then this crops up, and some people are happy. A lot of people that I've seen aren't. So it's just, you know.
So it was a lot of people are saying it's like a shot in the nuts.
Yeah, it's a lot of mixed reaction. Just like there's a lot of mixed reaction over something that we were watching the other day, which I wanted to talk to you about before, but didn't get a chance to.
I see. Okay. Well, that makes sense. The next topic that we have is MMO related. Guild Wars 2 update celebrates their 10-year anniversary of Divinity Reach. Our rewards include a hot air balloon, which takes you from the open world to Divinity's Reach. There will also be a gauntlet arena that pits players against bosses that increase in difficulty as you go through it, and a race kind of thing to light beacons.
Hard to believe it's been 10 years, eh?
I don't know if it's been 10 years, like, in-game, or 10 years, like, in total.
It's been 10 years in total.
In total?
I believe the original Guild Wars launched in 2003, didn't it?
I actually don't remember offhand. But either way, yeah, 10 years, whether... I'm sorry?
I miss Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
They wiped my account.
Very unfortunate event that happened to you.
Yeah.
Back to what we have. Let's see. PAX. The PAX 10 was announced. Do you guys, any of you guys know what the PAX 10 is?
Mm-hmm.
Sean, do you know what the PAX 10 is?
No.
I'm sorry? No?
No.
Okay. Well, the PAX 10 is a select group of indie games that are featured at PAX Prime. Mm-hmm. It's a list that they make that is like the top 10.
And I've already played some of these.
Yes, I've played some of them too. So the list includes Avalanche 2, Super Avalanche, Badland for the iOS, Escape Goat 2, Gunpoint, Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, Owl Boy, Ridiculous Fishing for the iOS, Rogue Legacy, Skobond, and Towerfall. Which ones have you played there?
Gunpoint and Rogue Legacy.
Okay, I tried out the Ridiculous Fishing and Scapegoat 2. Because I seen Scapegoat 2 on one of those Hey Ash, Whatcha Playing things.
And how was that?
It was different. Weird, but different.
Well, if Ash was playing it, obviously.
Oh, the video you're talking about, or?
Well, a little bit of both.
The game was weird. The video is always awesome. MechWarrior has a new map coming out called Terra Therma. Actually, no, it is out. It is out. The map is full of lava, pointy hills, and stuff like that. And yeah, basically the lava would probably give your mech some massive heat blisters. So be careful while you're out there. Get some heat coolants on your mechs.
The floor is lava. The floor is lava.
And back to Train Simulator, like we mentioned. Train Simulator 2014 has been announced and will be a free upgrade for anybody who owns the 2013 version. As Nar mentioned, this game has a ridiculous amount of DLC. It actually has over $2,700 worth of DLC.
Wow, good guess on my part, eh?
Pretty damn good.
There was one point I wanted Train Simulator 2013, and then I just looked. I was going to buy it. I was like, I wonder what DLC we got here. And I looked, and I was like, oh! No thank you.
Yeah,
if you are a train buff and you want a particular train, go for it.
I'd have to have the whole package. Go big or go home.
It's a good thing Sheldon from Big Bang Theory isn't playing it.
My father actually has it, though he didn't buy that many. He got, like, the Eastern Corridor map train thing so he can kind of run trains, like, through our area and whatnot, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, that is coming out September 26th, so that's kind of cool. Towerfall, the PC version, will be adding content, including new towers. Towerfall, the PC version, will be adding new content, including towers, a single-player campaign, and a single-player campaign. Currently, Towerfall is only available on Oyua, There is no release date for it, but it should be ready in a few months with a possible Mac and Linux version.
Did you mean to say the ooh yeah?
Yeah. What did I say?
I don't know, but it didn't sound like ooh yeah.
I don't know. However you pronounce it, but either way, this is one of like the highest, I believe one of the highest rated games for the Oyua. So, yeah. I kind of take a look when it comes out on the computer. So, Take on Mars is available on Steam Early Access. This game lets you launch a rover into space and land on Mars and explore along with other stuff. Bordor, you had interest in this one, right?
Yeah, I'm interested.
I don't see why, seeing as how you can't even get your Kerbal Space Program rockets off the ground.
Yeah, well, this one is more just exploring the red planet.
Oh, you gotta actually launch the thing into from the Earth all the way up to land.
Have you played it yet?
No, I have not gotten it. I was looking at it, but I have not got it.
But one of the reasons why I haven't picked it up was because I wasn't sure if it started you on the ride out on the moon, or if you actually had to get there. If you have to get there, that sounds a lot more appealing to me now.
Yes, as far as I read, you actually have to get there. So, our next bit of news has to go with MMO-related with Neverwinter, which celebrates its 2 million unique players. Though those 2 million unique players probably consider, like, R3 inactive accounts as well, so I don't know.
Possibly.
They also made a nice little infographic that showed other points of the game, including over 550 million quests were completed, 123 million professional tasks completed, 3.8 million companions, and 262k foundry missions, along with a whopping total of 15,000 guilds. So, yeah, that's a very whopping stats there, though. I don't know about that one. I'm probably not gonna hop back on there at all. Square Enix says that the Tomb Raider sequel is well into development.
Tomb Raider.
It's how you pronounce it.
It's Tomb.
I like saying Tome.
A tome is something you read.
I don't care. You can read a tome or a tomb. It's got words on it.
And Dragoor in it. And possibly Skooma.
Well, mine has, I've already come with it, whatever, like, relevant. It's going to have Wi-Fi built into it so people would visit me more often. It's going to be a 3G hotspot. So back to news. Wolfenstein The New Order will be delayed until 2014. I, for one, have not played any Wolfenstein games.
I have.
Do you know anything or about this one? Are you looking forward to it at all?
Well, it's a Wolfenstein game. I've always enjoyed the Wolfenstein franchise. I've owned them all. I've played them all. Beaten them all. This one is, you know, obviously being made by Bethesda and id, because Bethesda owns id now.
I'm interested.
It's going to follow the same Wolfenstein thing, you know, super soldier Nazis. But this one takes place, I believe, if I was right, I think it's like in the 60s or the 80s. The Nazis pretty much won World War II thanks to their super duper technology and monsters and all that kind of crap. I think there's like mechs and shit you gotta fight against. So it could be interesting. It'll probably be, you know, first person level design, level based shooter. Or maybe they might do something different. Maybe they might turn it into more of a Elder Scrolls thing or a Fallout thing. That'd be cool.
Agreed.
I haven't read up any information since I seen the launch trailer, the release trailer, teaser trailer, whatever it was for it a while ago. So I don't know if there's any new information about it, but, well, obviously new, because I didn't even know they were pushing it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's something we'll have to keep an eye on then. More MMO related news. Marvel Heroes had to actually roll back their game servers because of a broken update.
Do you really want to count that as an MMO?
Actually, yeah. It is an MMO. It's fully online. It's Diablo with everybody running around you. It's not instance based.
Yeah, I guess maybe you're right. Well, there are certain areas that's just you and your party.
No, some of it has, yeah.
Speaking of which, it's actually updating right now.
Okay, so next thing is, after two attempts to get a rating in Australia and failing both times, Saints Row the 4 removes some of the controversial items and now gets a MA 15+ rating for its Australian rating system.
I hope this doesn't do something.
I don't think it affects anything at all to do with...
I know, but think of other organizations around the world, okay? They might see this and think, maybe we can go after Grand Theft Auto and make them change shit.
Oh, that's what you mean.
That's what I mean. Because, you know, whereas the, you know, games have always been, they don't go around changing a lot of content out of movies unless you're in China. So now, I'm just worried they're going to, organizations like maybe here in the States might try and get, companies to look, either you change these aspects of your game or we're going to take you to court and get you, blocked from putting it out here.
Yep, and if the companies are worried about getting any kind of money from their game, they're going to do what the court tells them. Otherwise, they're going to lose a hell of a lot of money from lost sales.
The potential backlash for this, I think, could be quite unsettling.
I don't know.
It would basically fall down to censorship in video games, if you think about it.
Oh, that's only Australia. Australia has a very, very, very strict rating system, apparently.
I understand that, but what's to stop other countries from changing it? What's to stop Europe or, Canada, South America, here? Everybody's always trying to censor stuff, so, look at what Europe's trying to do with porn. They're trying to put internet filters to censor out porn.
Well, that's because of child pornography and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know, but it's just censorship. Imagine if the United States tried to do something like that. What kind of a hoopla that would cause?
Yeah. A very big one.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't watch the news much, do you?
That wasn't what I was referring to.
He has no idea what's going on with this censorship thing. But
that's what I meant.
That's because none of the things I watch require censorship.
Okay, well, how would you feel about your Better Bodies mod being censored?
I was being facetious, and yes, there's titties everywhere in my game.
Oh, God. Okay, onwards.
And
so
upwards.
Really awesome news. Beth announced... The Elder Scrolls Anthology.
Woohoo!
Yes.
I'm getting it.
This will include Arena, Daggerfall, Morrowind and the two DLCs, Oblivion and the two DLCs, Skyrim and the three different DLCs. It will also include 5 physical maps detailing the lands of Tamriel, Irelic Bay, and Morrowind. Cyrodiil and Skyrim. It also comes in a nice and nifty little box with some art printed on it. This will be released on September 10th in the North American region and the 13th in the Europe region for $70. it is physical, so you do have to go to a specific retailer to pre-order it, which pre-orders are available now. GameStop, Amazon, Best Buy. I think there's more. You have to actually go to...
Don't forget about pre-ordering online and just having it mailed to you.
Yeah, you can have it mailed to you and all that. And also, due to QuakeCon, all ESO titles, I believe this is over by now, were on sale. And Arena and Daggerfall were both free from Beth's website themselves.
Have you tried to get Arena and Daggerfall to run?
I have them both, but I did not, use them.
You need DOSBox.
Probably. I didn't even try to extract the files yet, but yeah.
Well, they're old DOS games. You need a DOS emulator, and you need to tweak it right to get the games to work. That's mm-hmm. why I'm kind of... That's why when I heard about this, I was interested, because I've played both Arena and Daggerfall a long time ago on my older computer, and I had lost the discs. And I basically want this just to get those two, and they're saying it'll have built-in DOS emulation, so I won't have to go in the DOS box and tweak it and try and get it set up just right to run these damn things.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are two really good games.
Oh, I figure something along the lines of if and when Elder Scrolls come out, I might take like the week off, and or a couple days or something like that, and like the day before or a couple days beforehand.
ESO?
Yeah, when ESO comes out, I'll do like a super uber like front to back stream thing.
I'll be there.
So, it'll be cool. Okay. Next MMO news, Blizzard's Project Titan is very unlikely to become a subscription MMO. I want your intakes on this. What do you think about this?
Free-to-play MMOs have a lot of potential if the market is done right.
Okay. Bordor, do you have anything?
Thinking.
Okay,
Where did you find this information?
It's all over the place, dude. The quote actually came from like big heads up of Blizzard. Let's see.
Well, everybody is thinking that WoW will be free to play within a year, so.
Well, my big thing was that if Blizzard, the people who have the only remaining like subscription based game, are saying, hey, look, we're making our next game free to play. It's going to be ridiculous. I think everybody's going to... I don't think we're going to be seeing much subscription-based games anymore.
No, we're definitely not. Because that model... See, there's... don't get me started on that, please.
No. You don't have to get started.
I actually do have something I would like to discuss about that, but let's not get into that.
The die has been cast. Now roll for initiative!
Pretty much. I think the model is going to wind up being a buy-to-play. I think everything is going to go buy-to-play.
I'm okay with this.
I'm okay with that too, but I'm also okay with subscription-based.
It depends. But I really think most of the things are going to go wind up becoming buy-to-play instead of subscription-based. But that's my thing.
See, the other thing is, at least the one thing that Blizzard has in their pocket is they don't have to answer to investors. You know, they don't have to borrow money to make their games. All their money is coming from their house. So...
Yes.
Going free-to-play actually wouldn't... They could probably make another subscription game, get only 100,000 subs, and not worry, because it would be making them money anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen it a lot of areas that the common number is like you need like 400,000 to 600,000 subscribers to be making money in a subscription-based MMO. I mean, look at EVE Online is a perfect example. They have roughly 500,000 players, subscribers, and they're still pay-to-play.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been around a long, long time.
Okay. Anything else?
Nah, I don't want to get started with Blizzard discussion.
Okay. So
yeah,
it could be quite detrimental to your health.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next topic is actually going to be a very, very large topic. It has to do with the announcements of EverQuest Next and EverQuest Landmark. So, me and Borador actually sat there and watched the stream for EverQuest Next. First, we actually watched
the sand stream. Artist was annoying.
And they said it was going to be a
nicely
sandbox
done. Game. It was nicely done, very nicely done. But it's like, Jesus, is it like you were getting quite antsy, if I remember.
Yeah, because.
I was able to go out and have a cigarette during that too, and come back, and nobody noticed I was gone.
But
we rarely do notice.
Yeah, seriously.
It's the beautiful thing.
Anyways, we do have quite a bit on this. It's ridiculous how much we have to go on it. We actually first watched the stream for ESO, and I was like, yeah, this is awesome. This is really awesome. And then the stream for EverQuest and EverQuest Next came on, and it just blew it away. Just blew
the back of my skull.
It was ridiculous. So we're going to start off with, first thing, it is free to play. Both of them. Free to play. Awesome. The next thing we're going to actually go into is some of the points and features of the game. So, EQ Next has multiple classes. You think along the lines of an Elder Scrolls game.
I don't think
game.
Multiple's the right word.
Yeah, multiple is not the right word, but think along the lines of like Skyrim or something, depending on, you know, you could be this class and then you could change over to that class when, you know, whenever you want to. Now, there are 40 different classes.
If not more.
Right now, there are 40. So,
do you think that also includes crafting professions or just combat classes?
I really don't know. I really don't know. But I was reading an article on direct comments from some of the lead designers and stuff, and basically they stated that like their progression system is not based on levels, so there's no levels. It's based on tiers. It's a shower pool, a tier pool. Basically, they want it to be more real life. So basically, let's say me, Narm, and Borador wound up in XYZ land, real life. We're a real life fantasy MMO now. We don't sit there and just go out, start killing
level
monsters,
up.
Doing quests, and after like 500 monsters, we level up. No, you know, after using my sword 3 or 4 times, it's a continuous thing. You know, I.
So would one arm get like a lot bigger than the other arm?
It's not really like that. I'm just saying that's kind of how it is.
Because we know why Narm's arm would be bigger than another, right?
Fat, 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 fat.
I'm smacking you besides the back of the head for your dumbass comments. besides that, it's all about player accomplishment, not only skill based. You don't have to use your mace over and over again to level up your mace skill, but your tier three warrior, in order to advance to tier 4, has to collect a full suit of tier 3 armor. You know, things like that. It's not completing thousands of quests. It's just kind of like how you go if you're participating in a rally call, which we'll get into in a second. Doing the quest or engaging enemy AI, it's everything all together.
I just hope they don't do something like the Secret World did. That was a really funky system.
I think it's going to be more that way, but not exactly.
Because it's kind of weird not knowing you know, like, you play a game with a level system, you kind of have a general idea how powerful you are. If you're playing, like, you know what I mean? Like, pretty much every game feels the same at level 10.
In Secret World, you kind of level up the weapon set that you have. In EQ, there are actually stats. Base stats. And they go into saying, yeah, there are attributes. The attribute system is completely different in the game. Basically, instead of your equipment giving you attributes, there are no attributes on equipment. Equipment's just visual-ish. Attributes are very, very rare things, apparently, that you have to work really, really hard to get. Which makes sense, you know. If I want to increase my intelligence, if I take an intelligence test, an IQ aptitude test, I literally have to study for hours and hours to get my IQ a little bit higher. If I want to do strength, I have to sit there and bench press over and over and do sit-ups and push-ups and shit. You know, it's not something that just comes. They're making it more realistic.
Oh, yeah. That sounds intriguing, but let's see how the old guard responds to that.
Oh, yeah. So, basically, let's put it this way. They're actually saying that the stats are going to be useful for everyone. So something along the lines of a wizard using strength, which is kind of unheard of. You know, why would a wizard need strength? Well, they put it this way. Strength actually makes you jump higher or other different things. I
thought that would have fallen to like agility or something.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Right? They don't actually go into what kind of stats, and they're using examples and stuff.
Oh, you're just making a comparison. Got it. Sorry.
Yes, it's just something that I'm throwing out there. Along it, there's ways to increase your DPS. Like, for example, a wizard can increase their intellect, which might let you swing wider. You know. So that it'll increase DPS. Let's see. Tiers 1, how to discover new worlds, new classes in the world. You have things where you could go help a hermit who turns out to be a high-level wizard. And you help him out, and after you help him out, he gives you the wizard class. Or you can be a class that is unlocked by unlocking a couple other classes. So something
that sounds
along
familiar.
Yeah. So something along the line of getting like an archer and a thief would unlock an assassin.
Or like a warrior and a mage would unlock a paladin.
Something that would probably be warrior and cleric. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I know who's going at.
Yep, yep. See, right here, it actually the assassin trainer won't give you the class until you're a really high-level rogue, and you've done a whole bunch of things. A paladin, for example, mentioned a real-life example. If you haven't been making good choices and being an upright and just as influencing person, you can't be a paladin. So there's a lot of things to think of. So that's good for classes and how the characters actually work. Let's go into some of the other things about the game. One of the big things is the world is fully destructive. Fully, fully, fully destructive. Everything is made by voxels. So think Minecraft, where everything is made by bricks. But then shrink these bricks into, like, take one brick of dirt and just, like, throw freaking lines all over through it. And now believe that they're separate parts each. Yeah, that's what their voxels are. So, yeah. So, Mr. Borador, who obviously I could tell will probably be rolling up a paladin, or trying to get a paladin, so he's going to be, you know, heavy armor, giant sword, or battle axe kind of thing. He's going to be busting around, breaking shit. You're going to see him swing his giant battle hammer, crashed into a wall. And the wall is going to tear apart into freaking a trillion pieces. which is going to be... I was watching the video. I thought it was amazing. I never seen anything like it. And Matt, you brought a big thing up with this, right? Something like this was something that you were looking for, correct?
Destructive world. Oh, yeah. It's something that's different for an MMO. You know, you want to see something new and fresh, and I mean, granted, destructible worlds have been done, but not in an MMO. I would love being able to be walking around in the overworld and then maybe seeing, I don't know, a cave and going into the cave and maybe something happens like they showed in the video where a big hole opens up in the floor and I fall down into a hidden ruin that, you know, nobody has seen before. Or something. Just the level of exploration that could be done in it, and like that one video where the big giant was chasing the one character into the building, and the giant was knocking over all the trees and everything. That's to me more realistic. I'm sorry, Skooma's acting up again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, I got a new dog.
One of the things that we were talking about was that Matt really wanted an MMO where you could tell where a fight has been, where something has happened.
Oh, and... that's what you meant. Got it.
Yeah. So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was all the way back on Friday, and it was a crappy week, like I said.
It's cool. It's cool. It's going to be nice because you're going to know where things happen. Where shit come, where a battle was and everything like that. But don't fret, the world is not permanently scarred. It does regenerate itself after a while. The next thing is, all your decisions have consequences. And this is another thing, I was just like, wow. Your decisions are going to have consequences?
That's nice.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be an awesome thing. For example, they actually put in, let's say, and they actually go into something and explain a little bit more on it. Enemies are different. So you have, let's say, orcs. In a normal MMO, let's just say EverQuest 1, for instance, orcs were on Orc Hill. That's where they spawned. And they sat there, and they were always there. Always there. They would come back after a while. You kill them down, they come back, you know, etc., etc.
Yeah, static spawn points.
In this game, it's totally different. Dynamic. All the way through. They take a bunch of orcs, handful of orcs, they plop them into the world, and they say, go do your business. They're programmed with artificial intelligence, like orcs like least unpopulated areas, no guards, and places like not frequently traveled, but not completely empty roading. So they'll go, they'll put them in the game wherever they go, and they'll just stake out and walk the planet until they find a suitable place of what they like. So they find XYZ road, place down, and they'll sit there. One traveler comes by, gets walloped. Two travelers come by, gets walloped. This is what they want. Now the players have options. They can either A, deal with them by leaving. B, kick their little fuzzy asses. Well, not really fuzzy, but kick their little asses. Or, you know, C, go alert the town guard. So, if, let's say, they don't travel the road anymore. Well, the orcs don't like that. They want money. So they'll get up and go. Well, if they get beat up too much too, they'll get up and move because they don't like that. Or if the players alert the town guard and the guard starts patrolling the area, they will get up and go. And they'll find a new area that fits their liking. So that's one of the decision-making things. And, you know, the world reacts to your choices. So, you know, after a while of fighting, let's say, goblins, and you're pushing them back, the goblin king might say, you know what, let's push back them harder. So you might be thinking you're winning, and all of a sudden a whole swarm of goblins coming after you. You know, everything might not be good. Some might be bad. I'm definitely excited for something like this. I was waiting for an MMO to cross the lines to do something like this.
And okay. I'm kind of excited.
The next thing is fighting a monster. It might actually wind you up somewhere where you don't want to be. Something like Borador mentioned earlier, they were fighting an earth elemental, which as they were fighting, he swung down his hand to the ground and destroyed the area below them, and they wound up in this giant hole that they couldn't get out of.
That doesn't necessarily mean I wouldn't want to be in that giant hole.
I'm just saying, because what they did next was they dug out. They dug down more, which wound them up into even... Yeah, they dug down, yeah. Falling into their way into the giant magma chamber, which they had to fight another monster. But this brings up the point where that the world is based on layers. You don't just have the overworld and your dungeons like in a normal MMO. You might be on in an area that has a bridge, and underneath you have the ground, and underneath that you'll have a cave, and underneath that you'll have a magma chamber, and underneath that you'll have an ancient city. You know, it's layered. It's amazing what they're doing. I've never seen anything to do that.
It's interesting. It, you know, like you said, not done in an MMO. I mean, done in like Minecraft and stuff like that, but not in an MMO setting. That could be interesting. Imagine finding tunnels that other players have you know, cut out. Could you imagine just for a second, imagine this, okay? I'm AFK, okay? You decide to be a smartass and dig a tunnel and go underneath me and then dig the tunnel up right underneath me and I fall into a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the look on my face when I come back from being AFK?
It's like Minecraft. I when people go on AFK, I put a city and box around them. So, I mean, yeah, in an MMO, that's a lot different. It's like, oh, what could happen? So... the next thing is, there are actual permanent changes that can apply to the world.
And so the that permanent would be in the form of,
rally calls.
What were they? Yes, that's what they were called. Do you, just asking your opinion, do you think that will be, like, their content updates for a while? Like, they're only going to have one of those active at one time, and then... Like they said, after 2-3 months, it might get completed, and then they'll just roll out another one as the way to, as they're, you know, putting new content into the game system.
No.
I don't think so. Final Fantasy XI actually did that to a smaller scale for certain.
That's
content
why
updates.
I mentioned it.
I don't think so at all. I think all this stuff is going to be pre-built. I think it's already programmed into the game. I think it's going to just be along the lines of, okay, we're going to start with this one and move on to the next one. Because I'll go into it more. I'll mention it now. Everything that's based on, let's say you have server A, B, C, D. Each server is different. A might have this rally call, B might have this rally call, C might have this rally call, D might not have any. So they're going to be all implemented. A and B might have the same rally calls, but they might be... their next tier ups might be different. You know? And what I mean by tiers and stuff like that, basically what happens is a rally call is something goes out. A rally call is announced, and you go out to the place where it is. Now, something could be... They had an example where a town's being built. So the town's being built, and you have to help build it. So what do you... They don't give you how to help build it. You have to figure it out yourself. So as, you know, if you use your brains that are in your head there, for some of us, what do you do? Okay, let's see.
That's asking a lot, bro.
I know. But warrior-type people will go, okay, well... We gotta check to see if
warrior type people are gonna be like, I'm gonna go poke it with a stick.
They're going to go out in the world, poke it with a stick, and try and get anything that's around out of there. Crafters are going to sit back and they're going to craft, you know, wooden walls and stuff like that. So after a while, what's going to happen is they're going to progress the tier. So the tier 2 comes out. Now your town has wooden walls and stuff.
Palisade.
It's going to have your whatever. Has wooden walls and stuff like that now. So now that you have wooden walls and everything like that, the Goblin King's like, I don't like this.
Burn them!
And burns down your wooden walls. So what's the next step? You're going to have to upgrade your walls to be less fire resistant, more fire resistant. So you're going to build stone walls, and at the same time, your warrior types are going to go out and fight the horde of goblins that are coming now. So the crafters are going to now try, you know, the townsfolks are going to build quarries. They're going to, you know, the crafters are going to build walls, and the warrior types are going to go fight more. And then after a given amount of time, they're going to hit tier 3, where the stone walls are completely built. And after what's up?
Do you really think that it would only let, like, the warrior types only go out and fight?
No, as a paladin,
I'll be able to go and help build the walls, because that's what I'd kind of rather do, is help the people and not slay massive amounts of demons.
Not at all. It's up to you.
What kind of paladin are you?
What I mean by warrior types, I just mean people who like to go out and fight. And people who like to craft. When I say warrior types, I'm talking about the individual who's playing it. Do you like to fight? Do you like to craft? You know.
I was thinking you meant the classes themselves.
No, I do apologize. No, that's perfectly fine. I do apologize to anybody that was confused.
I'm just hitting the skooma really hard right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm not basing it on classes. I'm basing if they feel like they're more of a warrior type, they're going to go do this. Or if they're more of a crafter, they're going to do that. So tier 3 comes along. The Goblin King says, fuck these fucking stone walls. I'm going to bring Ballista in. So they destroy
you, fucking fuck.
So yeah, they're going to start... what's it called? They're going to start doing all that stuff. And now you got to go suppress the goblins.
I will admit, on paper, it seems like a very, very interesting take on the, you know, normal quest system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it'd be nice. A change of pace. I just like it that it's EverQuest. EverQuest was, you know, one of the... Not the first, let's get that straight. Not the first, but one of the more successful MMOs back in the day. I know I played it. I know you played it. Norm, I don't think, has ever played EverQuest.
Sadly, no, I have not experienced EverQuest.
So then, for guys like you and me, it's nice to see EverQuest trying to do something new, trying to change stuff like they did when they released it. They had a lot of... It took all those features and put it in a nice little package. And like I said, when we were watching that stream, the beginning of the stream was really nice. What's the word?
Sand art?
No, not the sand art. When they were talking the player stories.
Oh, it's how your EverQuest.
Yeah, your that EverQuest made me story. Wanna. That made me think back to my EQ story.
Mm-hmm. So, not to completely cut you off, but we got to get back on topic a bit.
Mm-hmm.
To finish up this reference, basically what happens is you finally destroy the Goblin army, and now this settlement is permanent. It's there. It's in the world. Not necessarily that it's permanent. The rally call goes out to some other place. It could be somewhere else, or they could decide to rebuild that same one. So if they decide to keep it permanent, you know, town ABC could be there forever. And
town of random jackness.
Yeah. Town Fun Times Gaming could be there forever. and somebody new could be coming in the game, and you could be all like, well, I was there when Town Fun Times Gaming was made.
Or before it was even there, when or it was just an empty field.
I was there to help it be built and stuff, so that's cool. And
it's
kind of
what we can...
Okay, go ahead.
It's kind of what some of us can say about World of Warcraft is we can say that we remember World of Warcraft before Cataclysm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before they went and they changed a lot of the land mass, which I thought was stupid.
Anyways, as I said, the servers are different. Now, on to... that's about everything that I've gotten for EQ Next. So, the next thing is EverQuest Next Landmark, which is a totally side thing. Landmark, what that's going to be is you're going to be in the world of Norrath. And instead of just playing in the world, you're going to actually have the same tools as the devs. All these voxel-based tools that you can sit there and build with. So you're going to go, you're going to make your character, you're going to go out in the world, and you're going to claim your land. Now you can claim your land, and you build on it. That's it. Just like Minecraft.
So you're going to have to go out and get resources, or no?
I read somewhere that you're going to have to, but I'm not 100% sure on it. I don't know, I don't have that much. Like, I think I read some. You do.
I wouldn't believe it unless it came right out of Sony's mouth.
I think it was on their website that I read it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Oh.
So it's basically going to be think Minecraft in the EQ style, you know, their whole thing.
If there is a thing that says collect the rarest resources, objects, gear, and secrets are scattered across the worlds of Landmark. Can you find everything? So there will be stuff you get to go out and look for.
Mm-hmm. So on top of that, you'll be able to, like, I guess your friends, they mentioned that you're going to be able to, like, combine land and, you know, purchase and or earn more land and stuff like that to expand on. So, when it does come out sometime in the winter, a Landmark is coming out. It's going to come out sometime later this year. You can expect to see a Fun Times Gaming section of land plot somewhere in the Norrath region. And also on top of the player studio is basically I build something. I build something and I put it up on the studio and you guys could purchase my my making, which I highly doubt because I suck at building altogether.
You should have your brother build it for you.
Miss Diella will definitely... Miss Diella of the Fun Times Gaming community is really excited for Landmark.
She's really good in Minecraft.
Let's put
She's
it
really
this
creative.
Way. She seconded my motion of Bordor rolling up a character and just giving his land to us. And then kicking him out.
Nah.
I'll do it. On top of that, there are permissions you can allow people in to build to, you know, interact and stuff like that, or you could just leave it like only I can go in kind of thing.
Speaking of Skooma.
As of right now, EQ Landmark's later this year, and EQ Next has no release date. You can also sign up for the beta on EverQuestNext.com. Make a Sony account if you don't have SOE account if you don't have one. And if you do have one, just log in and you can do that. There's one other thing I want to touch on, EQ related, before we continue on with our massive awesomeness of a podcast. The EQ Worlds, Sony Online Entertainment has EQ Worlds app for the iOS and Android devices. Basically what this does is you just download the app and there's a couple little things in there. Right now, there's four different quests: Future Echoes, Ties That Bond, and New Beginning, and Marching Onward. I know for a fact a New Beginning and Marching Onward are completable by everyone. The other two, Future Echoes, I was having a little bit of trouble with, and the ties that bond seems to be something that you had to be at QuakeCon to do, because you had to scan like lanyards and stuff. Basically, they ask you to do little things like the Facebook pages or like the Twitter account and stuff like that.
You meant SOE Live, not QuakeCon.
Well, I thought it was at the same thing.
No, they had two different. Those were two different events. QuakeCon was in one place, and SOE Live's a whole other thing. That's just Sony.
I do apologize. Okay, so if you were at SOE Live, okay, thank you for that correction. So yeah, the ties that bond, you actually have to scan things on people's lanyards, and this will be updated frequently with new quests and stuff like that. As I said, I've done actually the full the two other full quests, the New Beginning and Marching Onward. And this allowed me to get 250 station cash, along with XP potions for EQ and EQ2. So there's going to be some nice rewards for doing some of these quests and stuff. Also, on top of it, if you do feel like going and helping out with EQ Next at all, if you do sign up on the website and everything like that, there's something called the Roundtable, which has different questions to ask and you can vote on. Basically, they're taking every little information from all the players out there to help them out. One of the questions that I find very interesting is, should female dwarves have beards?
Yep.
And I voted yes as an option. It should be optional. So
they should have them, yes. I agree.
I can't wait to see. And basically what's going to happen is, if they said no, their female dwarves won't have any, and if they say yes, female dwarves will have them, and if the option wins, then it'll be an option. So it's based on our votes, kind of thing.
It's nice to see them trying to take our feedback.
Maybe not so much, beards, but intricately braided armpit hair.
Oh my god. I'll stick with beards. And with that, EQ Next News is done. And our next thing, after we had this really long segment of EQ, is that Infinity Crisis, the DC comic MOBA, now has a funder program that allows players to buy into beta access.
I'd be interested if it wasn't a MOBA.
It's very much a MOBA.
Sad face.
Polarity gets greenlit and will offer Oculus Rift support. This was an Ouya exclusive. And the last bit of PC news is that Ridge Racer Driftopia is in beta, and they are accepting beta testers. You can find this at RidgeRacerDriftopia.com. As I said, I have been accepted and am in it, and it is awesome.
Well, so it is actually, the test is live now, right?
Oh, yes, it's live. And it's a Steam code for the PC, and you put it right in your Steam.
Ooh, that's nice. I might have to take a look at that.
Yep. So we're going to go on to console news. Starting off with console news, we have a little bit of PS4. PS4 has party chat and will allow 2,000 friends on your friends list.
Have they set the cap for Xbox One?
I have not heard anything.
The cap is one.
You can only have one friend.
And that friend is yourself.
it's Microsoft. It's Bill Gates.
Tom from MySpace.
So, God. The next one is Tearaway, the Vita game, has been delayed until November. UK retailer ASDA is no longer selling the Wii U games, console, or accessories.
Well, that sucks for Nintendo.
Why?
Well, it's been... I know EA was one of them. I think it was Ubisoft are no longer making games for the Wii U. They told her just like, nope.
Because the Wii U's not selling.
I never expected it to in the first place.
I expected it to sell more than it did, to be honest with you.
And now, I, for one, have to say that with the games that are coming out and announced, I'm a little bit excited. But it's still to wait and see. Like, I'm excited for the Smash Brothers, but I could get that for my DS. I'm excited for the new Mario, and I'm excited for Pikmin, which just came out. But yeah, I would pick it up, but I'm not rushing for it. I'm still kind of hoping that it's going to have a price drop. The next bit of news: Disney Infinity's first 20 Power Pack discs are going to be blind packs of 2 at launch. Do you guys know what blind packs mean? Just to let you know. I know you don't know much about Infinity or anything like that.
Nope.
So, blind packs are basically, they do it for a lot of the stuff. Basically, there's going to be this part of the game that you can get these little discs that help you out in the game. And there's 20 different ones, and you got to buy a pack, and you don't know what's in them. Basically, you could get copies, that means. I don't think people are going to like that too much. I really don't think people are going to like. But the next thing is Flipnote on Europe 3DS has been delayed.
Flipnote?
Yes, Flipnote is this little thing where people can draw cool things and stuff. Yeah, it's different.
Okay.
Talking about kind of like stop motion animation.
Yeah, kind of like basically take a sticky pad and draw like a animation note, kind of like a bouncing ball through each one, and then do that whole little flippy thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
basically that for the 3DS. That has been delayed till further notice in Europe because of Japan's overwhelming response to it. And the year is no difference on the U.S. release. They're still kind of saying that it's coming out in sometime early August. There is also a new Black 3DS XL coming out on August 11th, along with a tie-in to the new Mario Luigi Dream Team game. Nintendo is opening the eShop to allow purchases to be made on the PC and mobile devices. Minecon 2013, I don't know why I put this in console news, it should be kind of like a mix of both, but Minecon 2013 tickets are now on sale. Again, it is in Orlando, Florida for November 2nd to 3rd.
Road trip, anyone?
I would definitely. Heartbeat. I don't care if I have to sleep in the car. Pikmin 3 launches. There will be no multiplayer for Wii U's Batman Origin. Sega CD is now on the Oyua, even though I don't know why. CD was probably one of the worst Sonics in my opinion, and it was a very terrible port on the Droid to begin with. Xbox One bumps up their graphics capability. They bumped up the... hold your breath, because it's not that big. They bumped up their speeds of the AMD graphics processor from a whopping 800 megahertz to a amazing, astounding 853 megahertz, which, 53 megahertz.
Sorry, my lungs aren't very good for holding my breath. You know, it's all the skooma.
53 megahertz, they're not going to be... It's not going to really do much, sadly.
What does that do? Like, does that give them an edge over the PS4 or anything? Like, what's with the 53 megahertz increase?
They were going to try and, like, it's supposed to, like, bring him closer.
I guess that's their overclocking model.
But it's not. The PlayStation had, like, 50%. Like, it was, like, 53% over the Xbox to begin with, and this is not gonna... Yeah, this is not big at all.
Do you know what the speed for the PlayStation's processor is?
This is the graphics processor.
Yeah.
I don't know offhand.
We're all running, 2 gig cards? And they're still in megahertz.
No. It's totally different, you dumbass.
Yeah, it's APU?
No. The megahertz is the speed. Mine is running at 900 megahertz. Even though it's a 2-gig card, it's totally different. Yeah. Next news is Xbox One controller prices are released. The controller will be $60. The play and charge kit bundle will be $75, or by itself will be $25. And the chat headset, which is at this point not coming with the system, so if you want to chat with your buddies or anybody on the Xbox Live, you need to spend $25.
That kind of surprises me, that they're not going to package a headset, one headset, with the system.
I think they're getting a little greedy.
I do know that headsets, at least for the PS4, are backwards compatible. You'll be able to use a PS3 headset on your PS4.
Oh, Bluetooth. Yeah, because it's Bluetooth.
Yeah. Oh, did... I heard there were some Kinect latency issues.
Oh, really? Similar.
The Ouya, I'm using the Ouya as an example. The Ouya is, their controller is a wireless controller. Apparently, with the Ouya, there's a latency issue with the controller and the system, causing people to have a lot of problems playing their games. And I heard this the other day, and I've just been so busy at work, I haven't had a chance to really do any reading on it, but I've been hearing that there's some kind of latency issue between the Kinect and the Xbox One. I don't know if it's like a tracking latency or if it's a voice latency. You know how you can use your voice to do control your console with commands like turning it on, turning it off, this and that. But there's rumors of some latency issue. I will definitely try and look into that and maybe have something for next week on it if I can.
Okay. All right. Well, we have to keep an eye on that one then. And our last bit of console news, the 3DS released 4 new Street Pass games, and they actually made $4 million in 1 month, which is ridiculous. I actually picked them up myself, so I contributed my $15 to that, but it was technically the money they gave me that I bought it with. So that's console news. Next up, we have our release dates. On 8/6, Dragon's Crown for PS3 and Vita comes out. Disney Planes comes out on Wii, 3DS, 3DS, Wii, and Wii U. The Tales of Exilia Collector's Edition and Limited Editions come out for the PS3. I'm sad about that one. I love the Tales series, and I don't have a PS3, so I will have to be sitting out on that one. The Mortal Kombat Complete Edition, spelt with a K, is coming out for the PC. The Sims 3 Dragon Valley is coming out for the PC. Divinity Dragon Commander is coming out for Steam. Beat Buddy Tales of the Guardian is also coming out. I believe it was supposed to be on Steam. Just to let you know, PC editions would have to probably be picked up somehow, like retail or a different platform. I'm guessing Sims 3 would be like Origin. On 8/8, you have Papers, Please from Steam. On 8/11, you have Mario & Luigi Dream Team for 3DS. And Phineas and Ferb on the 11th also. It's Phineas and Ferb Quest for Cool Stuff for DS, 3DS, Wii, and Wii U, and this 360. So, with that, our main podcast is done. Now we're into resurrecting after a few episodes, our super secret segment. Again, the super secret segment is something that I pick out that no one knows what it's about, and I surprise them about it. So
please tell me it's about Skyrim. Please tell me it's about not Skyrim, The Elder Scrolls Online.
It has nothing to do with PC games at all.
Oh, okay.
So we have an email. Our first email. Our first and only email.
Oh, God. From... Help us all.
We got our first and only email. Yay! But the gentleman actually asked if I can only call him by his first name. He's Jimmy over here. Says, great podcast. Enjoy listening to you guys. Subscribe to you on iTunes. Thank you very much, Jimmy. My question is... Which console are you guys leaning towards? The Xbox One or the PS4? I guess what we'll do is we'll say which one and why we think so and everything like that. Bordor, I mean, we're not console, like, not enough. Well, let's just get our initial reactions. Go ahead, Bordor. Go ahead.
What did you say his name was? Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Okay. Well, thank you, Jimmy, for the email and for subscribing to the podcast. Personally, if I had the, you know, if I was going to buy a console, I probably won't. If I do, it would probably be a PlayStation 4. I had a Xbox 360 until I finally got rid of the thing. Sony rubbed me the right way. And because I had PlayStation, PlayStation 2, and all that stuff. Xbox rubbed me the wrong way with their release, with their press release. I didn't like what they had, and even though they have pretty much done a complete 180 on their policies, it still just rubbed me the wrong way, and I'm kind of sore at them. And I personally feel that the PlayStation 4 would probably be the better choice for somebody like me.
Is there a specific reason why? Just besides rubbing the wrong way? No? Yes?
I don't know. It's like I said, it's just that Microsoft kind of rubbed me the wrong way. That and the PlayStation is a little cheaper. I mean, I have a beautiful build the beast computer, so you know, price really isn't that much of a deal. But I supported Microsoft the last war, and I think the PlayStation 4 would has a lot going for it right now, my opinion. I think there'll be a lot of really nice indie games out on that rig.
Okay.
And I won't have to buy a $25 headset.
Okay. So what about you, Narm?
Well, first, thanks again, Jimmy, for contributing that email. It's great to know that, you know, we've got concerned listeners. I would have to also say that I would lean towards the PS4. A little bit about all that is I was pretty much an Xbox 360 fanboy for the longest time until I got converted to the PC Master Race, and I'm probably going to have to say I'm going to stay here. But being that this is a theoretical question, and if I were to get a console, the if would have to be the PS4. I think it has a lot more features that interest me and a lot less restrictions. Basically, everything that Bordor touched on is pretty much also true for me as well.
Okay.
And Mr. Random Jack, which system would you be going with, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay, well, on my behalf, I'm actually still quite... I'm really still in a teeter. I love Xbox, and I've always been an Xbox fan. Everything with Xbox. I've always had an Xbox. I've had PlayStation 2. I've had a PlayStation 3. The PlayStation 2, it wasn't mine, but I played it a lot. The PlayStation 3, I wound up selling like probably 2 weeks after I got it. I was just not excited about it at all. Now, based on what's going on now, yes, Xbox had its ups and downs and everything like that, and is more expensive. but in turn, it's coming out with, it's coming with the Kinect, which I forgot to mention. I heard rumors, remember, they're rumors, they might not be true, that there may be an Xbox model released later on that does not have the Kinect built in. Now, yes. Now, being that said, my main deciding factor on this one, I'm going to have to definitely wait. If I had to choose right now, that would be really, really, really hard for me, because my opinion, because everybody's different. Some people just say Xbox, some people just say PlayStation just for the fundamentals of it. I base a console choice on the exclusives.
I don't think there will be many exclusives, do you?
Oh, yeah.
I think exclusives are slowly becoming a thing of the past. The exception of, like, let's say God of War, which has always been PS, PlayStation. You know, Halo. Mario, which has always been Nintendo. Halo, which has always been Microsoft.
But the God of War is now on PC.
Exactly. Slowly becoming a thing of the past. Grand Theft Auto these days almost always has a port to every other system.
It's because them development houses want their monies, and their publishers want their money.
True.
I can tell you that there will always be, there will always be a few. There will always be a few, and that's what you got to base it on. Me. I always have to base it on the. I mean, yes, okay, because. Graphics, okay, this, that, the third, but what games am I going to enjoy? I don't want, you know, a nothing game. I want something that I'm going to enjoy. So that's what I'm going to be based it on. And if I have to base it on what exclusives, I would go with the Xbox. My heart kind of sits there and still saying PlayStation might have the overhand still. So I really can't make a decision yet. If Xbox, if Xbox releases a non-Kinect version, I will definitely jump on it. Then that will kick PlayStation out of my whole peripheral at all. That's basically the big thing for me. So, what were you gonna say? Anything?
I think it's difficult to make the decision of one or the other, mainly for us three, because we're primarily on the PC, the PC system. Me, on the other hand, I have a small child who loves his video games, and he's learning the ways of the PC. He's learning. He's getting really good at the damn shooting games, I tell you that much. But I think, he's always had, at his place he has the Xbox and the PlayStation 3. I think he's more comfortable with stuff like that. So I'm going to have to make the decision, because I'm going to have to get one of them for him anyway. And I'm just curious to see who's going to come out on top. I honestly think it will be Sony. I think Sony learned from their mistakes with the PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. I did not expect Sony to undercut Microsoft's price. I expected the PS4 to be quite expensive, and I was expecting Xbox to be cheaper, and it flip-flopped, and Sony seems to be trying, from what I've seen, like the thing I mentioned last week, I put in the notes last week about the last 15 minutes and 5 minutes of video recording. It seems like Sony's trying to one-up their competition. That might wind up being a very good thing.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Okay.
So I've seen some breakdowns of some of the features the PlayStation 4 has. I don't know if it has certain features as well for the Xbox. But I know that you'll be able to use your mobile phone to buy a game and have it start downloading to your system if your system's on. You'll be able to choose if the game has single player and multiplayer. You'll be able to tell the system what to download first. Download the multiplayer stuff or the single player stuff. So, like, because there was a video done a while ago. You've got a friend that's playing, let's say, the new Killzone game, and he's getting owned in multiplayer. He calls you up on the headset and says, "Yo, dude, get in here quick, this and that." You haven't bought the game yet. You buy the game and you tell it, instead of downloading the whole thing, downloads the multiplayer portion. Once that's done, boom, you jump right in and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, is there anything else that anybody wants to add in?
Not for me, although the information that Bordor just put out was quite interesting.
Okay. And are you done there?
Oh, yes, for now. I keep on top of... I try to keep on top of on information like this. So if I do hear anything else, I'll be sure to let you guys know. If you guys are interested, that is.
Okay. So maybe we'll... revisit this later on, like maybe the week before all the consoles come out. As for that, we are done with the podcast. Thanks everybody for listening. And those of you who are following the stream, we probably will be doing this like every Monday, I guess, starting up the stream on Twitch.
I will try to do as well.
Okay. On Twitch, you can follow me and look at my stuff at FTG Random Jack, R4NDOMJ4CK. And Narmacils is FTGNARMACIL, also on Twitch. We stream throughout the week, so feel free to jump on and watch what we're doing. Follow us and be active in our chat, because we do respond back. If Bordor gets up, we'll mention it in the next podcast. The other thing is brought to you by Build the Beast Workshop. Sean, what was your tagline?
My tagline was, don't build a bear, build a fucking beast.
That's a good tagline. I like that.
There you go. You can also follow me on Steam. Be my friend, FTG Random Jack, same spelling as before. Bordor, FTG, Bordor. Narm, I don't know if you want to throw yours out.
FTG, Narmacil.
Okay, same spelling as before.
Pretty much.
If you want to send us an email, it'd be great. Definitely take some emails.
Please do.
Our email address is funtimesgaming@gmail.com. Remember, times is with a Z, not an S, so it's funtimesgaming@gmail.com. Follow us, like us, and subscribe to us on Podomatic, funtimesgaming.podomatic.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Please leave comments. We will definitely do shoutouts if you do. Back episodes will be posted on YouTube on our YouTube site at Fun Times Gaming on YouTube. So if you want to listen to like earlier ones, because we will be deleting older ones, feel free to jump on there. Besides that, like, subscribe, comment, rate, and donate if you feel the need to. Keep us going and everything. That would be wonderful.
And in addition, one of the benefits to watching us stream during the podcast is you get a rare glimpse at completely uncensored, unedited content.
Yes, the uncut podcast.
Because a lot of bad things happened during that. So have a good night, everyone.
Safe travels and happy hunting.
Laters.
It definitely does not taste the same. Twinkies do not taste the same anymore.
I am highly upset.
I'm not.
Anyways, as soon as I get to be able to talk again, we'll start.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. I understood every word.
Say it with me, Jack. Ooh, yeah.
I can say it however I want to.
Yes!
What would I miss?
I actually won with a pair of five.
I think I'm gonna name him Speedy. Speedy the pig.
ADD.
I'll give you my land. For cool. Price.
10 bottles of school.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Actually.
If you were at SOE
Anytime,
Live.
Anytime, buddy.
If you were at SOE
Just to hear you say thank you is so worth it.
Oh, God. Did you really have to start this?
We won't hear from him after the podcast is done.
This is true. He's going to go across the street to get a sandwich, and we'll hear back from him in about a week.
Yeah.
Hey, that's mine!
Haha, beat you to it.
Peace, y'all.
Besides, your reaction timing is a little slowed due to the skooma, so it's okay, I understand.